Thank you. Still full room, which is concerning. I would like to acknowledge, firstly, I'm presenting this on behalf of my colleague Shelley Kerr, who wasn't able to attend the conference this week. I'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we're meeting and pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging, and also acknowledge and thank people with lived experience who have contributed to this work and also have given permission for their words and images to be shared as part of this project. There's no need to preach, as I say, someone said preach to the converted in this room about the fact that HIV, hepatitis B, hepatitis C are highly stigmatised and that many people experience discrimination when accessing healthcare. Also, no surprise to many in this room about the intersectional factors of country of birth, language, gender, sexuality, injecting drug use, and decriminalisation, as we've heard in Edwin's plenary yesterday and then also here in this session, how impactful those factors can be when combined with stigma and discrimination on people's health and wellbeing. These quotes are some shared experiences from people involved with the project and I think have really formed the basis of this work with the Removing Barriers project. The project was a Commonwealth-funded activity providing ASHM with resources to develop a number of different activities for healthcare professionals, and I'll be talking about the Removing Barriers online learning module that was developed for nurses to improve awareness. So the online learning module consists of peer-to-peer messaging with nurses, talking to nurses through video and other scenarios and questions that we've used throughout the module are based on the Stigma Indicators project, work that was undertaken by the Centre for Social Research at UNSW and provides opportunities for reflection of activities. The module is sectioned into five different areas: transmission, use of standard precautions, confidentiality, disclosure, intersectional sources, which include culturally and linguistically diverse issues, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, and injecting drug use. And the fifth section sort of wraps everything up together and talks about the nurse's role in eliminating stigma and discrimination. So the module was launched officially in March and became available for people to access through the ASHM Learning Management System. And from March to June this year, we've had 92 registrations. About 78% of people completed a pre-course survey, and we also have a post-course survey embedded within the module as well. We actually expect that there's probably a higher completion rate post-course survey, but we've sort of found out that there's a bit of a workaround for people to complete the module and gain the certificate without actually accessing the post-course survey. So that's something that we're looking at, and nurses are pretty clever at working that sort of thing out. So I think they might have actually figured it before we've had a chance to go back in and make that change. You'll see there that a good chunk of the nurses are working in registered nurse positions. That's the sort of light blue, the 58%. And then the next biggest proportion of nurses who are completing the module are in more senior positions, from clinical nurse specialist to clinical nurse consultant, depending on which state you're in, nurse unit managers up to nurse practitioners. So really quite experienced nurses. And the other smaller groups made up of midwives, students and enrolled nurses. Where are our nurses? Interestingly, the bulk or a good percentage are working in primary healthcare, and those settings are in corrections, alcohol and other drugs, mental health, sexual health, women's health, and the largest group of nurses working in the hospital setting were working in alcohol and other drug services, inpatient services. Using the modified Monash model, we were able to categorise participants by postcode and get a really good understanding of the geographical spread of people who are completing the module, which has been really interesting because it's always hard to know where people are sort of finding out about the resources. So in Queensland, we've had nurses completing the modules from, the darker blue is MMM1, which is sort of urban metro, right up to 7, which is extremely remote. So in Queensland, that's represented in Yeppoon, which is sort of up north, out to Cunnamulla in the west, and then Brisbane. Here in WA, we've got Kimberley's down to WA, and represented across the other states as well, quite far west and south. The pre and post course surveys that we have embedded in the module are designed to evaluate knowledge and attitudes regarding stigma and discrimination. The next few slides present some data from those surveys, and as you'll see also in the next couple of slides, that understanding of use of appropriate standard precautions is quite variable for many healthcare professionals, which is interesting when you think about where the nurses are who are completing this. We would have assumed that the findings that we did see were sort of quite unexpected. And also, I'm just going to show a video of Grenville's experience, and he will share his experience as well. And this is a video that's embedded as part of the module.
I think, if you like, my favourite instance of discrimination was when I went to see a dermatologist for a biopsy on some lumps that I had as a result of treatment. And he said to me, how did you get hep C? And being who I am, I said, why do you want to know? Non-confrontational, I felt, in the way I said it. And he said, oh, to keep myself safe. Which doesn't matter how you got it. It's not keeping himself safe by knowing how I got it at all. Even whether or not I have hep C isn't keeping the doctors safe, because they should be practicing standard procedures no matter what.
Bearing in mind, this video is a little old now. It's at least probably 4 or 5 years old, so we're still having similar issues now. So this is just raw data. There's been no fancy statistical analysis. I'm just put a disclaimer out there for that now. This is just some data from the surveys. And as you'll see, I think, we really need to strengthen the information in the module about and the messaging around the use of standard precautions in practice if we're still getting these responses from nurses completing the module. There's really, still uncertainty around the use of standard precautions and particularly the decrease, which is the little pointer here, in response to use of standard precautions when someone does disclose. We also noted some concerning responses around privacy, confidentiality and disclosure, with some nurses still expressing uncertainty around when and who can disclose, should disclose, do they need to disclose, and unfortunately disclosure can and still does occur at the hands of healthcare professionals, as you'll hear in Brent's experience in the next video.
I guess the negative experience I've had with a nursing staff person would be in the complex environment that is accident and emergency, when I was taken in with a cut finger and a bad experience from the kitchen. You would think that it wasn't going to be a big deal. And I was sitting behind the curtained partition in accident and emergency. And all of a sudden I hear the nurse say, oh, he's the one that's got HIV, to someone. And I just thought to myself, wow, that feels really uncomfortable. And this is in a small rural-ish town, A&E, where it's part of my local community. Thankfully, he came back afterwards and said, look, that was really inappropriate of me and I'm really sorry.
I still found that really challenging to hear as a nurse, that there would be colleagues who are so publicly making that statement on behalf of somebody else. Jennifer alluded to it in her talk, into some of the ways that people, some of the reasons why people do need to disclose, and some of the other reasons are if people are joining the Defence Force or there's some insurance reasons as well. But, really, there's no need in a setting to be disclosing, and that's something that the participants really struggled with determining how they would respond to the survey based on that. Rights and obligations of healthcare professionals with the bloodborne virus also seemed challenging to participants. But the recently updated Communicable Disease Network of Australia guidelines does provide guidance on the scope of practice for healthcare workers with bloodborne viruses. And again, the results have just highlighted that we need to strengthen those messages within the module so that people are coming away with a greater understanding of what the requirements are and how they could better be supporting their colleagues. The pre-course surveys also demonstrated a lack of knowledge of BBV transmission, which when I last shared this slide, there were a lot of shaking heads in the room, and that was to a group of nurses, that there were still people assuming that there was transmission of BBVs with sharing food, drink and utensils. There seemed to be a good understanding of BBV transmission for when related to sharing injecting equipment and condomless sex, but not something like sharing food and drink and utensils. Where are we going for time? There were no responses for often or always in either of the pre or post course surveys for this one. And one of the most outstanding results, I guess, is that people are still most likely to discriminate against people who might express or appear to be using drugs for injecting. And this data is also really reflective of another pre-post-course survey for a receptionist, removing barriers online module that was developed for reception staff, general practice reception staff, and also is in line with what was just found in the Stigma Indicators Monitoring Project reports as well. So there were some positives from the module, and I think the work that we need to do to go back and revisit some of the messaging is worthwhile, because the module in overall was quite well received. People really did like the lived experience videos. They felt that that was a really relevant part and enhanced their learning. They liked the format, they liked being able to go in and out of the modules, and that they weren't too long. And the refresher on the how the BBVs are transmitted I thought was interesting as well. These are some reflections. We provided opportunity for nurses to sort of make some comments, and you know, I think they're really pertinent and really reflect what we wanted for people to walk away from completing the module, to actually have them thinking about their own practice. And it certainly has made me reflect on my own practice as well. And if I could go back in time a couple of times, I probably would like to have done that as well. So we can make a difference, and this is a resource obviously targeting nurses, but I think has broader application to healthcare professionals more broadly, that, you know, we are all able to adapt our practice and make changes, and that we really need to do so. It's not really up for negotiation. It's just something that has to be done. Thank you very much. Oh, sorry, that's just...